It's the Morning Shift. I'm Tony Sarabia. We've been hearing stories of families separated as a result of President Donald Trump's executive order barring refugees as well as immigrants from seven Muslim-majority countries from entering the U.S. And within the Muslim community, there's fear that the ban in this weekend's mass shooting at a mosque in Quebec City could embolden people to commit hate crimes against Muslim Americans. Federal law enforcement authorities are still investigating a fire that destroyed a mosque over the weekend in a small Texas town that was once the target of a hate crime and burglary. Closer to home, Chicago area imams are taking steps to ensure security of their mosques and those that worship there. Joining me now is Kifah Mustafa. He's the director of the Prayer Center in Orland Park, one of the largest mosques in Illinois. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tony, for hosting me.
So, you know, I mentioned right now the big conversation in the Muslim community is probably, you know, the travel ban, but also the story of the mosque being burned down and the fatal shooting of the mosque in Quebec that killed six worshipers. What are you feeling both as a Muslim and as a faith leader?
Well, the first thing that is worrying us the most is that it is titled a Muslim ban. And it is very hard to convince your kids in public schools who have, you know, Muslim identity and names, girls putting scarf, that it is a ban on Muslims. And they have to go and detail for them, oh, is this something related only to travel? So the president actually is utilizing fear from people to create fear in another community members. And that is a very dangerous approach. It will not feed into the well-being of the whole community at large. So we're taking this very seriously, and how would that affect our safety if it was in relation to the congregations themselves? Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, that there was a mosque that was burned down in Texas, and then the shooting that happened in Quebec. So we are doing a couple things. First, trying to explain to our congregation what the Muslim ban is, and then trying to take a stand against it with the community at large. And the second thing, taking certain steps for our safety and security in our mosques and congregations.
What are some of those steps?
Well, we're meeting tonight around 11 local imams in the Chicago metropolitan area to come up with a list of things that we will share around, you know, all the mosques and take procedures. So we're taking something on a long term, which is going to make it like basic, you know, constant, continuous, mm-hmm. and something that is more of a heightened security in these days. So, for example, at our mosques, we canceled all overnight activities that sometimes kids and spend, you know, overnight, you know, hangouts. Yeah. The events for the youth, we all already like locked all the doors. We are using only the main doors for entrances. And there's a school next to us that, you know, people has to be buzzed in. So we are making sure that no one enters without being checked out. We are having, during, you know, the prayer itself, we pray five times a day. Mm-hmm. So the prayer itself takes like between 10 to 15 minutes. So we are having a security guard at every single prayer, actually, who will be standing in front of the door, just making sure that the faces that are coming, you know, coming, because sometimes it's confusing. Yesterday we had an incident, someone who just came in, you know, who happens not to be the familiar faces in the mosque, with his hands behind, and he just walked actually to the school next door, mm-hmm. and the secretary got freaked out, and she thought he might be, you know, coming for some type of harm or something, and then he came, greeted her, "I'm your neighbor, we are supporting you, let it be known that we are your Christian neighbors, and we are, you know, backing you up in this, you know, hard time that you are in." So it is, you know, a choice that you have to make between, you know, safety and then welcoming these faces that people come. So it did create a status of concern and a lot of procedures that really didn't have to go through that if it wasn't for these executive orders going around.
Yeah, I'm wondering, you know, it seems like that's a sort of an unintended consequence of the security and safety measures, right? As in a time where, you know, it's important for us to get to know our neighbors. And, mm-hmm. and as you just mentioned, that example of the man who just came to show his support, does that bother you, you know, that, you know, it's kind of a, we got to make this decision. It's kind of a dilemma that we're faced with. That on the one hand, well, we want to welcome people who want to learn more about us. But on the other hand, we have to be extra careful.
Sure. You know, the mosques, most of them are open, like, to the public. You know, it's not like only the registered congregants or something like that. Anyone can come in. I mean, you can identify people who could be, like, delivery or whatever it is. But then there are the public people who come, like, one time we just had people come in, oh, this is a nice building, what it is. You know, people just walk in, sometimes trying to ask about what is this thing you are in. Or some people would like to come and show support. So we are just trying to educate our staff to be vigilant, even the congregants themselves, to be aware and, like, you know, keep an eye and watch for the safety of the area around. If you see something that you feel is uncomfortable, I mean, the statement, see something, say something, that we apply in airports and whatever.
Right.
It is sad that now we have to, you know, keep this burden on us to look around. Mosques are meant to be places of peace and get to know each other. That's actually a phrase from the Holy Quran, that, you know, we are to know each other and we want to keep our doors open. But these extra measures, especially with kids involved, as you know, we have like after-school program for the kids, youth programs, it gets more concern for the families. So we're keeping more, you know, chaperones and, you know, security just to make sure everything runs fine.
So what would you say to people who do want to come in show support and learn more about the faith?
Oh, sure. I mean, we are keeping our doors open. We're not changing that. We're just keeping more an eye. It just takes one incident to go wrong for the, you know, the community to suffer for God knows what, like the incident in Quebec up till now. You know, you could feel the aftermath of that. So we are asking people to come. Actually, we have had so many emails of support and, you know, words of, like, you know, support backing us up and this. We had people coming in, churches around us who know us, who we deal with some events with them, and we are very much into interfaith. You know, there's a call by the Council of Islamic Organizations, which is an umbrella for the Muslim organizations, to declare tomorrow, you know, as a, I mean, Friday, for the Friday sermon, to hold vigils for the refugee support and to invite people to come. The sermon itself will be dedicated in that perspective, educating the public about, you know, when we say America, when we say we Americans, Islam is part of that, Muslims are part of that, and we are as concerned about the safety now on double, you know, side than any normal American citizen out there.
I'm talking with Iman Kifah Mustafa. He's the Iman and Director of Prayer Center at Olin Park, one of the state's largest mosques. We're talking about safety concerns following the temporary order barring refugees and immigrants from seven Muslim-majority countries. I have to ask you, you know, these are seven countries that have been targeted. Do you have refugees from other countries that are not on the list? And so are they concerned?
I mean, really, it doesn't matter. It is called the Muslim ban. So everything that has to do with Islam, identifying yourself with Islam, feels they are connected to that. And now we're hearing all kind of reports that even people who are originated from Syria, but they hold, you know, green cards, or even people who have citizenship, but, you know, they were born in Syria or some other countries that were listed, that they are taken into extra, you know, secondary check and more detailed questions. We have stories. Lately, there was a physician actually coming back to practice at the local Advocate Christ Hospital who was being returned back. I think he came from Dubai or one of the Gulf states, who has wanted to get engaged and come back to practice the healing of people and, you know, taking care of the people. So these are devastating moments, and these people have built their future and their hopes on a status that they were already in the U.S., but they went out to visit and then they came back, or people who have sacrificed a lot back overseas and they're coming here to settle in a way that we're vetted for two prolonged years. No one that was allowed and given a visa to come to the States but went through at least 18 months of, you know, tightened security and vetting and checkup and background checkups. So this ban of Muslim and this matter of these seven countries is a matter of just creating fear. Probably there are people who might be fearful of something, but then it is creating fear in the Muslim community here and all overseas.
You know, you'd mentioned the attacks on other mosques, and we've also seen threats on Jewish community centers in recent days, some Jewish community centers being evacuated here in the Chicago area. Have you been in touch with leaders of other faiths about working together to take a stand against hate crimes, particularly Jewish leaders?
We are working closely with the council, which is like an umbrella that represents most of the Islamic organizations, including mosques. And yes, they are in touch. If there's, you know, first of all, we always show support that sometimes we meet together. If the presence of Muslim, you know, clerics will go visit a synagogue or a church or vice versa. Another thing is that we issue like statements of support to the public. And then we make it sure, like on our own social media outlets or in our sermon that we speak, it is about the safety, you know. We believe in our faith-based tenets that there are three basics of life. Every individual, regardless who he is, he has the right for that. To wake up safe in your, you know, community, to have access for food and then medicine and, you know, medical treatment. These are basics that every single human being on earth deserve, regardless if you lived in Peru or Somalia or Chicago.
Are there any parallels that you can draw between the fears of both the Jewish and Muslim communities right now?
Well, to be honest, when you apply one religious approach and fear, then it can act on any other one. The next could be any other religion, even from the administration itself. So this is a very risky road that the administration is taking, and we hope that the president will review his executive orders and think wisely of what is the effect. People are talking about the cause. Let us talk a little bit about the effect.
Why do you think, Imam, that this order from the president, why do you think that would motivate someone to commit hate crimes?
Well, I mean, the media sometimes play a role of the emotions. You know, there's two things, ignorance and fear. If you don't have access to the facts, then you can assume anything, and it could be false most of the times. And if there is fear of something, then the best way to retaliate is to go harsh in that way. And there is a lot of ignorance about the facts of Islam. There are a few people, less than 1% of the 1.5 billion people who might be associated in terror here or there, but they are in the face of people. So people who are just seeing all the media coverage about Islam, and they never met a Muslim, they never came to a mosque, they never had an interaction with people like that. Of course, the perception is going to be all misled and, you know, part of unclear.
You know, you just mentioned earlier in the conversation about the security measures concerning students, and I'm just curious, what are students saying? How are they reacting to all of this?
Well, we had to go through we changed actually the themes that are discussed, and we had to tackle the issue of safety and security. Mm-hmm. And we are talking more about the mental wellness for students, mainly at school or in public, like at malls or whenever they go out. So whenever it is more heated subject, you know, in the media, then by default people are going to take, I mean, on a daily basis, we know a lot of girls who happen to dress, you know, Islamically with the scarf, that they have heard, you know, people saying things to them, go back home, you don't belong here. Kids at the age of 7 and 8 in public schools are being bullied because of their religious, you know, affiliation. So this is our real concern. The kids that are born here and they identify themselves as American Muslims and nothing else, they are being told from the administration and these policies and down in the practices of some ignorant people, you don't belong here. Well, we want to make sure that we are part of this country and we are to care about its safety, but also we're going to stand firm for our rights and we're not going to let anyone bully us into any type of letting go our rights or discriminate against us or practice any hate.
Imam Kifah Mustafa is the Imam and Director of the Prayer Center at Orland Park. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tony. Bye-bye.
We're going to take a break, and when we return, Reclaim Souls' Ayanna Contreras talks with the author of a new book about Chicago soul legend Donny Hathaway. I'm Tony Sarabia, and this is The Morning Shift on 91.5 FM WBEZ Chicago.